Back to more Atlanta United Soccer on the home for the Atlanta United.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, we did it. And I say we, it's not just the players, it is you, the supporters. And I'm telling you, that TIFO on Sunday night set the tone for everything. I'm not joking, I'm not exaggerating. The TIFO set the stage. You could see the Red Bull players thinking, oh my God, what did we just walk into? And they walked into a 3-0 annihilation Sunday night in the first leg. And then Atlanta United, with 90 minutes of masterclass defending, the Red Bulls do score off a corner right at the very end tonight. 1-0 in the second leg, but 3-1 on aggregate. And Atlanta United is going to the MLS Cup Final Saturday, December 8th. Pre-game coverage starts at 6 p.m. on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. They have erected a stage at midfield. There is actually a trophy. Do we know the name of the trophy? Is it the Anschwitz Junior Trophy? Like, you know how they have the son of Baconator? like the MLS Cup is the Baconator. Atlanta United's about to be presented the son of Baconator, I guess.
I don't think they really care at this point. Arthur Blank down on the field right now, hugging everybody he sees.
What a moment this is, not just for the players. Arthur Blank, Darren Eales, Carlos Bocanegra, the entire technical staff, just absolutely joyful scenes on the pitch right now. I see Matt Mookie Moore down there, warm embraces with everyone. Matt's the head of digital and broadcast for Atlanta United, our boss.
That was a very cool moment. Arthur Blank and Darren Eales, the architects of this.
Yep. Now you got to go out and win it. And
yep. This is not a club that's going to settle for a conference championship. This is not a club that's going to settle for an MLS Cup appearance.
You'll celebrate this one tonight.
Yes.
And probably tomorrow, at least in the early morning hours. Oh, my God, that charter flight's going to be lit. Oh, boy, that charter. You ever see the movie Soul Plane? That's what Jason and I are about to walk on, we think.
I might need to get another Red Bull before we leave.
I'm surprised we drink Red Bulls after all this.
It's a celebratory Red Bull. Yeah.
By the way, you got to give fair play to Red Bulls.
You have to.
And what a tremendous regular season for them. 71 points, an MLS record, to win the Supporters' Shield. As they salute their supporters, that the ones that stayed here until the very end.
And their supporter section was outstanding.
Their supporters were great. There were some ugly moments with throwing debris on the pitch, but their supporter section was outstanding.
Their supporter section did everything they could to try to will this team forward. When you fall down 3-0 in the first leg, it is what Luis Robles said last week at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. It is nearly impossible.
Miguel Almiron and Darren Eales hugging and jumping in unison. Some of the Atlanta United players are being handed T-shirts now, which I'm sure you'll be able to buy at your local sporting goods store tomorrow, denoting them as the Eastern Conference champions. Brad Guzan now joining the Latin players in kind of a samba dance. That's a sight to see. So in a moment, Atlanta United will be presented with the Eastern Conference trophy, a.k.a. the son of Baconator, as their players now are being told to head towards a stage, a small stage, that has been erected in the midfield.
There are two moments in Atlanta sports history that compare to this. There's only two, and I'm going to put this above both because of how fast Atlanta United has done it. The 1991 Atlanta Braves went on the road in Game 6 and 7 of the NLCS, had to win both, and they did. Steve Avery, John Smoltz, great pitching performances. They go to the first World Series in Atlanta. The Atlanta Falcons, early 1999, the 1998 season, they go to Minnesota, face the Vikings, who were 15-1. Falcons were 14-2. Falcons get it done. You look at the heroes in that one. Chris Chandler threw for over 350 yards. Terrence Mathis had a couple touchdowns. And Morton Anderson with the field goal that we all remember. But Atlanta United in 2 years has earned more points than anybody in MLS in those 2 years. And they have went to the Eastern Conference Final against the best team in MLS regular season history and beat them. Beat them comprehensively to go to MLS Cup. It's the greatest startup in American sports.
The Atlanta United players are samba dancing on this temporary stage that has been erected in midfield. Someone wearing a Bradley Wright Phillips kit.
It's Joseph Martinez. Them. That's full credit to Bradley Wright Phillips for swapping jerseys
yep.
with him.
Yep. I was going to say, that doesn't really look like BWP. He doesn't have hair, but that's Joseph Martinez. Now they are placing the son of Baconator on the trophy stand. I'm sure some deputy commissioner for MLS has been assigned to make this trophy presentation. This will be the first trophy in club history.
They've got Michael Parkhurst back up there. They might have to hold him up. Parky put in a lot of work tonight. Had to limp off at the end.
Here's the presentation. We don't have a direct line to the PA system, so I do apologize. You're not going to be able to hear all of this.
I love to see what Tata Martino is doing right now. He is getting everybody from the front office, everybody from this club up on the stage in front of him.
Katie Witham of Fox Sports is going to present the trophy to Arthur Blank. Now, obviously, unfortunately, the words are not understandable. We do apologize for that. We have a very limited technical setup on the road. But whoever the deputy commissioner
Todd
is.
Todd Durbin, the executive vice president of player relations and competition, saying a few words.
And Arthur Blank, the owner of this Atlanta United club, will accept the Eastern Conference trophy.
He will hand it immediately to Captain Michael Parkhurst.
And here it is. Durbin picks the trophy up. Hands it to Michael Parkhurst. Parkhurst takes a look at it. And hoists it in the air. What a moment. And the best part is, we're not done yet. So Atlanta United will host the MLS Cup Final next Saturday night against Portland Timbers or Sporting Kansas City. They are going back to the dressing room to celebrate. We are going down there with them as soon as we complete the full-time report, which is coming up right after this as Atlanta United wins the Eastern Conference Final 3-1 on aggregate on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for a look back on today's match. This is the full-time report with the voices of our Atlanta United, Mike Conti and Jason Longshore.
Atlanta United Soccer is brought to you by Equifax, The Home Depot, Mercedes-Benz, AT&T, Publix, Scana, Cuff & Tire, Lunazol, La Perea, Piedmont Healthcare, Heineken, Children's Healthcare of Atlanta, and Associated Credit Union.
The home for MLS in Atlanta, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We've heard Peach a lot this year because Atlanta United has won a lot, the King Peach kits. And the joyful scenes continue in front of us here at Red Bull Arena. Darlington Nagby doing a snow angel and the confetti that they fired off when the trophy was presented. All of the players are still on the pitch, as are hundreds of Atlanta United supporters. And I want you all to hear this just quickly. That is the sound of Atlanta United supporters shouting the Red Bull supporters out of their building. Atlanta United wins the Eastern Conference Championship. They don't win tonight, but they do win 3-1 on aggregate after conceding a very, very late goal off a corner kick to Red Bulls after a 90-minute defending masterclass. And now, Jason, they will host either Sporting Kansas City or Portland Timbers in the MLS Cup Final next weekend.
It's kind of fitting that we finish with Peach tonight because this match was a lot like where that tradition started in Minnesota, where Atlanta United sat, defended, numbers behind the ball, cleared everything in sight. Leandro Gonzalez-Pires, Michael Parkhurst, Jeff Larinowicz were massive at center back. Franco Escobar and Greg Garza defended well, got forward a little bit, enough to keep the Red Bulls honest. But this was all about the defensive effort. And that work on Sunday at home gave you the ability to do this tonight. incredible defensive work from Atlanta.
And now they got to win one more, but that's something we'll get into a little bit later. As far as tonight is concerned, man of the match brought to you by Heineken. I propose Julian Gressel, but I think you can make probably a stronger argument for Miguel Almiron based solely on work rate tonight.
Yeah, I'd go with Miguel Almiron. Leandro Gonzalez-Perez is in that conversation as well. He was immense. Jeff Lorenowitz was immense. But Miguel Almiron, just because it was a match that you wondered what his influence would be, because Atlanta wasn't going to have much of the ball. We all knew that coming in. Miguel found his way to impact this match. As you hear the crowd roar now because Arthur Blank's going over to salute them, Miguel Almiron put in a performance tonight that was unlike really any other from him we've seen, but one of his best.
So Miguel Almiron, our man of the match, brought to you by Heineken. This is usually the point of the full-time report where we give you a statistical recap of what happened. Who cares?
Guts.
Really? I mean, in a way, this match played out in a way that I think we feared it might, where, especially in the second half, as Red Bulls got increasingly desperate, it became a little bit of a shooting gallery. I mean, remember, Red Bulls only had one shot on target in the first half. They ended up with six on the game, so five came in the second half.
Right.
13 shots total. They had one goal that was wiped out on VAR. They had another goal that did count right at the end. 27 clearances in the first half for Atlanta United. We don't yet have the game total up here, but that was the match in a nutshell. It was LGP, it was Parkhurst, to a lesser extent Escobar, to a lesser extent Garza, really being responsible tonight. And Atlanta United was very, very content to play down the flanks and play the ball out and make this as choppy a match as possible.
Atlanta United did what they had to do. They had no reason to risk anything. And when you look at the chances that the Red Bulls were able to create, there really wasn't much in any of them. It was a lot of shots from distance. It was a lot of just hopeful balls over the top, hoping they could time a run right or find somebody or find a mistake from Atlanta. Didn't happen. Atlanta United did what they had to do. They came in here, they defended well, they rode all the pressure from New York that New York could muster. They're coming back home with a trophy and a chance to win a bigger one.
Highlights in tonight's match? There weren't any. No, I'm kidding. If you like defending, you'll like this little series of really strong defensive plays that Atlanta United made in the second half. But here it is. Right to left goal kick. Guzan down the right wing again. That's been his target all night. Escobar, and he got ahead on it that time. Lade plows him down. Escobar stands back up. Lost it to Royer. Nagby got a stab at it. And now it's played deep down the middle to BWP. And LGP with a strong tackle to knock it out for a throw. Davis up to the ball, strikes it to the penalty spot, headed out of there, Jeff Lorenowitz. He's going to fall back into the middle third where it's played up to Tyler Adams. Adams takes a heavy touch into the near corner. Escobar body checks him away for the ball, wins the ball, turns and sends it up the near touchline. No score in the 57th minute. This portion of the match brought to you by Ford. Go farther. It is driven down the left wing to Mwiel, who gets on the end of it, and then LGP tackles it away again. Right to Kaku, and then LGP takes it away again. Lorenowitz clears it down the left wing and out of danger, and it'll roll all the way out in the defensive third of Red Bulls for a throw.
LGP is tackling everything in sight right now.
This is incredible defending by Atlanta United. Shotkovsky lined up on the touchline as they attack the goal to our right. Shotkovsky, in swinger to the back post. Guzan coming out, catching. Kaku trying to dribble around Nagby. Sends it forward now to Shotkovsky. Up to Etienne down the left wing into the attacking third. Rometty is over there to mark him. Etienne takes a heavy touch around Rometty. Swings it to the top of the 18 and almost got through it, did. Here's Royer at the edge of the six. His cross goes right to Almiron. And Almiron will clear. Another wasted chance by Red Bulls, and here comes the Villalba sub. BWP shanks a long ball, but then Garza falls down. Ivan will get on it in the box. Ivan takes a touch on LGP, shoots, and it's blocked away. Out it goes for a corner. I don't know if it was LGP or Parkhurst who blocked it. Another corner for New York Red Bulls. that kind of night. And then the Red Bulls did score at the very, very end of the match on a corner, kind of a broken play. But that was another significant aspect to the night for Atlanta United, Jason, in that they did a really good job at limiting the set piece opportunities.
They did. They did a good job defending them as well. And that's something that we worried about coming in. We worried about Aaron Long and Tim Parker being able to influence the match on set pieces. They didn't quite get the delivery that I think they needed. Kaku was just not good enough on those. Tchaikovsky was a little bit better when he came on as a sub. But Atlanta was able to deny big chances from the Red Bulls until the very end when it didn't matter, because the Red Bulls are not scoring three goals in 20 seconds. That's really where we were at that point. So Atlanta gets the job done really in an uncharacteristic way. But we talked about it all season. Atlanta's been able to make changes tactically as they've needed to. The Red Bulls have one way of playing. And when you fall behind in the first leg and you can't play your style, this is the type of result you see. Atlanta's able to adjust. New York isn't. Atlanta's moving on.
All right. When we come back on the full-time report, we're going to take a few tweets from you. So if you have any questions or feedback, or if you just want to tweet OMG, OMG at us, go ahead. You can do that too. We will get to that right after this break at MikeConti929, at Longshu, and at ATLSoccer929. This is just the start, folks. Our post-match coverage continues until midnight. Jason and I will be back from Red Bull Arena in a moment on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Do you hear this?
Sounds like we're back home, doesn't it?
That's the sound of the Atlanta supporters shouting the Red Bull supporters out of their own building. Yeah, and I know you can't hear us right now unless for some reason you're listening to your app, and I hope you're out in the parking lot getting drunk right now. But if you were here at the match tonight, boy, oh boy, what a job by the Atlanta United supporters, willing their team through 90 minutes of a defensive masterclass. They do lose the second leg 1-0 tonight, but still easily advance to the MLS Cup on aggregate.
Best loss in Atlanta United history.
Well, and you know what? Ed Million on Twitter asked me about the treasure chest stat, and this is fateful. This This came up at stoppage time on Tuesday. Yes. Atlanta United following a loss this year, folks, is 6-0-1. They lost tonight. If form holds, we're going to be lifting the Baconator next Saturday. If form holds,
and
a plus 10 on goal difference
after
a loss. And I think, just off the top of my head, I think the last three matches they've played after a loss, they've gotten a clean sheet.
Yes.
So, you know, again, we'll wait and see. SKC on a goal by Daniel Shalloway in the 19th minute has a 1-0 lead on Portland Timbers. But the margin for error for SKC is extremely slim, because if Timbers equalize, then they would have the only road goal in that series. So stay tuned to 92.9 The Game. And I want to stress, Jason and I have to get to the charter. We are going to take some questions on Twitter, and then we have to tear down and get to Soul Point. But Andy and Jarrett Smith are going to be on through midnight, continuing with the post-game coverage. So there will be plenty of coverage tonight. There will be plenty of coverage tomorrow, even on the morning show, as we break down as we break down the MLS Cup final. And by the time we get to tomorrow morning, we will know the opponent for Atlanta United. It will be either SKC or Portland Timbers. All right, let's get to some questions on Twitter. David Franklin saying, not trying to be pessimistic, but I still think the aggregate format didn't get the squad with the best record an obvious advantage. Really think home field should be given to the team with the most points. Do you want to politely take that?
Well, the home field would then be in a single game, and that's what they're talking about doing. So that's fine. And if that's the way you want to do it, that's completely fine. In a two-game series, it's really built to not have a home field advantage. The home field advantage is if you go to extra time, it's on the team with the higher seed.
Correct.
That's it. That's really it. That's why you have a two-game series in the Champions League, because you don't have the same type of seeding. In a regular season playoff format, yeah, you don't have a lot of home field advantage. I said it from the beginning. I thought having the first leg at home in this series was great for Atlanta United because they were able to set the tone at home. And New York never really found anything in this series after getting blitzed at Mercedes-Benz.
At Jaquan Joe says, incredible resilience from Atlanta United this entire playoff run. Every time doubts have crept in about this season, the team always responds with their strongest performance, and he says that's a credit to the team's leadership.
It's a credit to the team's leadership. It's a credit to the club's leadership. It's a credit to this coaching staff. The work that Tata Martino and his staff have put in this postseason, and, yeah, we heard lots of talk after the Toronto loss about things with Tata Martino because it came out that he's not coming back next year. He's not opting to take another contract here. And there was a lot of conversation after that Toronto game that was a distraction. Go back and look at what they've done in these four games against NYC and the New York Red Bulls, the other two best teams in the Eastern Conference this season, and look at the amount of preparation that showed in the performances from Atlanta. Look at Franco Escobar and what he's done, playing in a role that suited him and suited the style of play. Look at the plan tonight and how effective it was. Look at the decision to play Miguel Almiron as a second forward. That is not something we've seen a lot of this season. It's been perfect in the postseason because this coaching staff has done its homework and prepared this team excellently.
All right, Brandon Hamby, this is something we addressed on the Five Stripes Countdown, but it becomes a more relevant question now. Is either Western Conference team a better matchup for Atlanta United, in your opinion?
I think they both have difficulties. I was a little more worried about Portland just because of Valeri and Blanco and their ability to change the game on their own. Kansas City's the better overall team, and I think they have the better defense overall, even though at times it's been a little hit or miss this year. Ike Opara, Matt Beisler is a center back pairing as good as what we just saw with the New York Red Bulls. Seth Sinovic is a good left back, but Graham Zusi is a game-changing right back when he gets forward into the attack. If Kansas City can get anything out of their forward line, they're a very dangerous team. And Johnny Russell is that guy in the final third who can make something happen.
At WillC78, did we not score because we didn't need to or because we couldn't?
Didn't matter if you couldn't. You didn't have to. That's the important thing here. It doesn't matter if you couldn't score tonight. You had no reason to try to, because if you get caught and you give up a goal early, then you're giving the Red Bulls momentum. You don't do that in a 180-minute series. There was no reason to, and Atlanta honestly had the better chances in the game. You go back and look at three saves Luis Robles made, kick save in the first minute, another big save on Joseph Martinez in the second half, and then another diving save on Julian Gressel in the first half. Luis Robles had more to do than Brad Kazan.
Kick save in the first 10 seconds, as a matter of fact. I mean, right off the kickoff, Joseph, as we had discussed at halftime, maybe even a little bit surprised, and by his standards, kind of a sitter. Had he scored that, then Red Bulls would have needed five, and the match might have been over right then. Artist, formerly known as TLC, is Parky okay? That's my number one thought right now. I can't help it. I'm thrilled we won truly, but is Parky okay?
We won't know, and it honestly doesn't matter too much if he's okay right this minute. It's going to matter if he's okay Thursday, Friday, as you start to get deep into preparation. Parkhurst is a guy who can miss some training sessions and step back in and be fine. We did watch him during the celebrations. We did watch him during all of that. He was laboring. He was moving around slowly, but he was walking around on his own power as well. Don't know if he was cramping up. Don't know if it was contact from the collision with Leandro Gonzalez-Pirez. Don't think he rolled anything. We watched the replay multiple times. It didn't look like that. Could just be a combination of all of the above. He was out there. He was struggling to move around a little bit, but he put in a lot of work tonight. I think he's going to be okay, but he's got some time now to recover.
Chris McGuire says, it's weird seeing a team celebrate a berth to a championship game and a loss on the opposing field, but it was glorious.
I love it. I absolutely love it. This is the type of one that this stings a little bit more for the opposition. This really stung for the New York Red Bulls fans, and some showed their displeasure in how much it stung by throwing things on the field, which is a real shame.
Also, though, and again, my God, not defending that at
no,
all.
No, no, I agree with you.
But it does bring up a point that the league has to address, and FIFA really needs to address it too, because it's not just an MLS. VAR decisions are not explained in the stadium. And we could tell because we had access to a network replay. They showed no replays on the jumbo screens here.
Because they can't.
So when Jair Marufo looks at the monitor for 3 seconds, comes back and waves no goal, I'm not excusing the bottle throwing, but I do understand the confusion.
Yeah, absolutely. And that part of the bottle throwing I honestly wasn't too frustrated about. We don't know what happened early in the game where something ended up on the field and Miguel Almiron was holding his face. We don't know what happened there. At the final whistle, there was a lot of stuff thrown, and that was a shame. And there was stuff that nearly hit some players. I understand the frustration, but what you go back to that original tweet, celebrating on another team's field after a loss, because you didn't have to win tonight.
Right.
You gave yourself that cushion in the first leg. That's the world of soccer, and that's how things are decided. And it does leave a little extra in. It does mean a little bit more. And for a team that has become a rival of Atlanta United, this is one that the Red Bulls fans will remember for a long time. It's also one that the Atlanta United fans will remember for a long time.
So the 39th and final MLS match of the year, a week from Saturday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I want to reiterate again our pre-match coverage. Well, even before Jason and I come on the air, I can tell you right now, and I can reveal these plans. I was nervous about talking about it because I thought it might jinx us. But we are going to treat the MLS Cup Final next Saturday as if it is Super Bowl Saturday in Atlanta. You're going to hear a lot of your weekday hosts on that Saturday with pre-match coverage. Jason and I will be on the air with a pre-match show at 6 p.m., a two-hour pre-match show. I think we're going to get Kevin Egan and Dan Gargan, hopefully, to help us out with that as well. Kickoff will be around 8 p.m., maybe a few minutes before that. Next Saturday, it will be Atlanta United against either Sporting Kansas City or Portland Timbers. It will be at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Keep an eye on Twitter. Follow the Atlanta United social channels. They'll have all the details on ticket sales to the general public, which I'm sure will be made clear to you very, very soon.
I think they might be on sale now. If you have access to get tickets, you better go try to get them right now.
Get them now because they're going to go quickly on the secondary market. And if you can't make it, Jason and I will take you home. We've been waiting a long time in Atlanta for a championship. Not a long time with Atlanta United, obviously, but a long time for a pro sports championship in Atlanta. And please believe, if they do it, it will be right up there with a Braves, Falcons, Hawks championship. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. It will be a major sports championship for the city of Atlanta. And now we have a chance on our home field to do it, a match in which Atlanta United will likely be the betting odds favorite.
It's wild that 50 years ago when professional soccer came to Atlanta, in the second year of that club, the Atlanta Chiefs, they had a chance. It was a two-leg final. Second game was in Atlanta at the old Atlanta Stadium. They had a chance to lift a trophy. They got it done. We'll see if Atlanta United can match that 50 years later and take soccer to a whole nother level in this part of the country.
Pretty incredible symmetry, isn't it?
Yeah,
pretty incredible.
It's amazing. It's been an amazing ride. There's still one more ride to go. And we have a week to recover from this.
Yeah.
Maybe recover from the charter flight home.
Yeah, well, and we'll be good.
Then get ready for MLS Cup in Atlanta, folks.
I don't think they have scotch on Swift Air or anything like that. Plus, I got work in the morning. So do you.
Yes.
All right. Now, the post-match coverage does not stop. Jason and I do need to get to the charter. Andy Bunker and Jared Smith will continue with everything after this break. Again, Atlanta United wins the Eastern Conference Championship over New York Red Bulls 3-1 on aggregate. We will see you next Saturday night at the MLS Cup Final. More to come right after this, though, on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.